Amen. God is good. He is good all the time. I try to remove obstacles from my path because whether it be a child, anything else that get up in these aisles, I'll be doing backflips over them. But hopefully I'm loud enough. Am I loud enough? Y'all need to learn how to overindulge your pastor just a little bit. Because by golly, I will get louder if I don't think I'm loud enough. How many of you are glad to be in God's house this morning? Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I will not be sad to see 2019 go. Literally, if there was a door I could open up and kick its butt out the door, I would do that. Because 2019 has been probably the hardest year of my personal life. But you know what? With every adversity, there's always a blessing. With every bit of trouble, there is always a breakthrough. If you've got the man enough and the woman enough up inside of you to stick around for God to turn the thing around. Now look here, where we come into error is when people don't stick around and they get weary and they walk away. Let me tell you something. Don't walk away from your struggle. Do not walk away from your struggle. Because what happens is it will come around full circle and you'll be at that same spot again. Look here, some things you ain't going to just skip over. Some things you're going to have to go through them. Amen. And I was in St. Louis, Missouri on Thanksgiving. And it's amazing how you age because I used to hate going up there. And I've learned to really like it because it's the one week I just let myself go willy-nilly. I mean, I don't put no makeup on. I don't even see people that I know because I'm all the way up there. I eat till my heart is content, and I shop till my heart is content. And all of those things I love. And Jeremy and I, we went, and we were in a hotel because I like my privacy. When it's nighty-night time, I like to not be around people that aren't in my little immediate family for reasons that I'm not going to tell you. But everybody's got their reasons, and I got mine, and I like to have me some privacy with just my husband and just my kids. So anyways, we got up in there in that room. And I'm very picky about hotels. And I got a little hang-ups that not even I am aware of until they happen and they don't suit me. And we got up there in that room, Mama Brenda, when we walked in, something that I never considered happened, and I didn't like it from the very first moment I saw it, which was that our room had a conjoining door to it. Those things freak me out. I don't like that. Because just the thought of some strange person being able to possibly get up in my room when I am sleeping, I don't like that idea. So it made me anxious the whole time. So I didn't really sleep good the whole trip because I slept with like one eye open and I'm looking at the crack of that door thinking I'm just waiting for somebody to come up in here trying to get a hold of my kids or something because I'm straight up crazy. I get a hold of somebody. I'm just waiting for an opportunity. So I was sleeping one night, and I was trying to sleep. And I just, it was like you ever lay down at night and just, it all come to you. And I just began to reflect on what a difficult year it has been. And I began to hear the sweet, sweet voice of God say, Kelly, what have you learned this year? And I just began to just weep. And I just began to tell God, God, I love you. God, if it were not for you, this year would have been a disaster. God, if it were not for you, I would have fallen so many times. God, if it wasn't for you picking me up when nobody else could have made me stand up, God, I give you all the credit. Because because, God, you've been good to me, and I've learned, God, that you'll never leave me. God, that you'll never forsake me. God, I've learned that I can call out to you when nobody else would possibly hear me and know what's going on. God, that's what I've learned. God, I've learned I can call on you. God, I've learned that you hear me. God, you hear me even when I can't hear myself. You get up in these life struggles, you start thinking, I don't even know what myself thinks about this. I've gotten there plenty of times this year. I thought, I don't know what everybody else thinks about this, but I don't even know what I think about this. And I begin to tell God. I didn't sleep at all that night. I just began to tell God, God, this is what I learned. God, this is what I learned here. This is what I learned there. Man, let me tell you something. I wouldn't want to do 2019 all over again, but 2019, I'm sure of one thing. It was a pivotal moment in my life. It was a pivotal year, and I'll reflect on it for the rest of my life. Certain things that happened, DJ, God allowed them to happen. At the time, I was wondering what the heck he was thinking. I was thinking, God, you know I'm half nuts. You know I can't go through this. Oh, yeah, you can. And you're going to. And so my question to you today is, what have you learned this year? What have you learned? Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have a better year. You're going to have a better year. I hope to God that you've gotten every ounce of what you're supposed to get out of 2019, because you got 2 days and then it's over. We're going to turn a page, and let me tell you something. God's going to do a new thing. He's already begun it. He's going to turn some things around that you thought, no, they're done for. They can't be turned around. Never, never, never. Never say never, never limit God. Never say, God, that could surely not happen, because look here, God ain't looking for your limitations. He's looking for your faith. Just because something looks impossible, there's nothing impossible for God. God will move the hearts of people that were set in their ways. God will change scenarios around where they looked like they were going to be the thing that brought you down. He'll turn them around, and man, they're the thing that made you. That's what he does. God is not bound by what you think is impossible. Amen. He is bound by the thing that you can't believe him for. Believe him. That's why it says, believe and you're going to prosper. Why? Because people got a believing problem. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6. Through 8. Hallelujah. I learned a lot this year. I couldn't possibly go through them in 40 minutes. So I'm going to hit the highlights. Hallelujah. And here's Moses. And he's realizing that he's about to step down. Look here. Takes a big person to do that. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Look here. One thing that I've learned this year, Brother Alvy, is don't be scared of them. Them don't got what I got going on. Don't be scared of them. Don't be messed up because of them. I don't know who the them is up in your life, but look here. Don't give them more control. Take away that control. Stop being terrified of what they could say, what they could do, what they could think. It don't matter what anybody thinks about you, but the living God. And we spend too much time and stock up into what people are saying, what people are thinking, what people are doing. Don't be afraid of them, and don't be discouraged by them. Be you. Be you. Because you're the only one that can. For the Lord your God, he goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous. For you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. And the Lord himself, see, God ain't sending this one or that one. He ain't sending Gabriel. The Lord himself. The Lord himself goes before you. The Lord himself. The Lord himself will go before you, and he's going to be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, so don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. If I've been two things this year, it's been afraid and discouraged. 2020 ain't got no room for those two things. 2020 doesn't have room for fear and discouragement. You got to kick them to the curb because God's got big things for y'all. You got to wake up every morning and you got to say, Satan, I'm up. Now, I'm going to give you a coffee break because I'm going to put this makeup on. But after that, it's on. Men, whatever y'all do to get yourself going, whatever. But when you wake up in the morning, if the devil ain't scared of you, that's a problem. Because he should be. Because if you ever tapped into what you are, who you are, the devil would be horrified. The problem is the devil's just making a heyday out of some of our lives. Don't be discouraged because of anything. There's no room for that in your new year. Don't bring that with you. Whatever you could possibly be discouraged about, God is working it out. Know that. Know that. He's not left you. He's not left that situation. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the very moment that is going away in Jesus' name. Look here. Sometimes we got to live some things out. But, Albie, there is always a shelf life to every problem that we face. In the day that you wake up and God said, enough is enough, I'm removing that. You'll look back on that and you'll think, what was that? I was so worked up over. You won't even remember some things about the thing that seems so big. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 9. So my first point is that God's never going to leave you. Don't leave God. If I've learned something this year, Cindy, it's that God did not leave. God didn't leave. When I was heartbroken, he didn't leave. When I was happy, he didn't leave. When I was sad, he didn't leave. When I was weary, he didn't leave. Look here. You know how many times I wanted to leave my own self? If I could have figured out a way to do that, I would have. I told somebody the other day, look here. Today is not a good visiting day. I'm getting on my own nerves. And I'm certain you will get on my nerves. Because I'm agitating my own self. It's just not a good day for company. I know myself well enough to know when it's a good day and not a good day. Most of the day, it's a good day. I love to be around people. But every once in a while, I'll let myself think just a little too much. And then I get into trouble. I always say, Jeremy, I was thinking. He goes, oh, God. Let me sit down. What were you thinking of, honey? I was thinking, wow! Blah, 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 blah. He's going. He's bracing. Look here. I don't even know. A lot of the time. And that's a good thing. Because the older I get in Jesus, I just say, God, what do you want to do today? God, you tell me. Because I'm certain whatever I conjure up is going to not be good. You just tell me. Take all the guesswork out. I'm going to do it. What is it? How can I serve you? You know, I like to go up to McDonald's because they have this thing that they got to do. And it always gets me off when they don't do it. sometimes when I'm in a real bad mood, I'll go there just to straighten myself up. You know what they do? You get there to that line that causes me anxiety. I don't like lines. And they say, how can we serve you? How can we serve you? And God's saying, Kelly, we can go around 5 more times if you need to get your attitude in check. Because what I want to hear from you is not all your nonsense. I just want to tell you how you can serve me the very best way. See, 2020 is your year. You need to wake up every morning and you need to say, God, how can I serve you? God, what can I do to bring you glory? God, how can I praise you today? God, how can I tell you that I love you today? Look here, all this, I'm not in love with that person no more. Oh, no. You ever want entertainment? Get on to Facebook and look who's their relationship status, because we got some people that's just like, I like to check it out. I want to know who's up in a relationship. You're like, I'm not putting my relationship status on there. Don't, because I'm going to be looking at it. And I'll be making a list and checking it twice. Going to find out who I agree with you dating or not. You'll be hearing. But let me tell you something. Before I ever got married to Jeremy, I made a decision in between that downtime of me dating. And I said, God, I'm going to fall in love with you. God, I don't care if you ever bring me a husband. I'm going to fall in love with you because you're all I need. You're it. You're all that I need, God. God, I love you. God, I'm in love with you. God, you're it for me. God, my very heart beats and breathes and just does all this cool stuff that you made it do that I got no clue about, and it does it all for you, God. We got to learn how to be in a relationship with God. A relationship is when two parties communicate. See, are you in a relationship or are you in a one-sided thing? God, I need you to do blah, 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 blah. If you want to kill so-and-so, that's okay too. Amen. No, look here. God ain't answering them prayers. He ain't. God wants somebody to call on him and love on him when it's all going great. Because look here. The truth is, he will be there for you in times of trouble. There's not a doubt. He is. Love on him when it's all going good. We know he's there for us in times of trouble. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. See, we all telling God something. I've been full of it many times. God, I'm going to quit drinking them Dr. Peppers. No, I'm not. God, I'm going to do such and such. Nope. I did that for 30 minutes and got sick of it. God? I'm going to be nice to Sally Sue. You know I don't like her. She rubs me the wrong way. But I'm going to be nice to her. God's going, no. See, I know the end from the beginning, Kelly, and I know you ain't going to do that. Look here. Quit telling God stuff you're going to do and you ain't got no intention on doing it. Let's just be real. Let's keep it real. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Look here. Some of the stuff that we like to dig up, it is dead. It's been dead for a long time. Now, I'm going to hit on something, and I'm going to go to meddling, because meddling's what I do best. I don't know about y'all, but I'm preaching out of my life. I got some go-tos. I'm going to explain that reference. Ernie, when I buy myself and I'm in a bad mood, something ain't gone my way, I got some go-to situations. They've been dead a long time. But on my bad days, I'm going to go to them and let it fester up again. I got some relationships that on my bad days, I'm going to think about all the rotten things they said to me. I'm going to relive them. I'm going to ponder on them. I'm going to make sure I get myself in a bad enough mood. I'm of no use to God that day, because that I'm going to let Satan have his way. Some of us in here have some go-tos. Some go-tos. They may have happened years ago. They may still be happening. And God said, Kelly, you tell my kids to let go of their go-tos. If you will not let go of your go-tos, you're going to go through some things. You're either going to let them go, or you're going to go through some things. And when that happens, it's not going to be pleasant. There were things my entire life that I would not let them go. And because I would not let them go, God dealt with me. DJ, I wish I would have just let them go. Look here, when you come face to face with things that have messed you up, with things that have broken you down, and you got to work through that. See, it's better if we can just say, God, I don't know why that person said that to me. God, I don't know why they did that to me, but God, I let it go. The ability to let things go is better than keeping them, because God cannot let you stay in a constant state where you have these go-to things and you keep going back to them every single time you're upset. Every time you see that person and it gets you triggered and you go back to what they said to you. You go back to what they did to you. Every time Dad goes, case in point, he goes, I bought him a little vest. I love men that wear vests. I think vests look great on every man. And I said, Dad, I bought you this vest. Now, I could not find you a shirt. So what you need for this specific vest is blah, 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 blah. He goes, well, I'm going to go to Walmart and try to find one. Well, Walmart is closed on Christmas Eve. I mean, you know, they do that kind of thing. They close down once a year. We got to work around them. And so he calls me. He goes, Kelly, I bought the perfect shirt for this vest, and I went to Clarksville, and I go, don't even say that town in my presence. Look here. Immediately God said, Kelly, that's my town. Some of us are so crazy, we don't even like to hear the name of towns brought up in our presence. One time I was so mad at somebody, Jeremy was mentioning their name in our new house. I about had an epileptic fit. I said, look here, do not disgrace our new home by bringing that person's name up in these walls. I will not have it, Jeremy. Don't mention their name in this house again. That's called a go-to. Y'all got the point? Or do I have to go and share any more terrible things about myself? Look here. Because I could go on for days about myself. I'm trying to get y'all to recognize what your go-to is. It's them little things. And we, now look here. I like a good Netflix show to binge on, and some of us like a good irritation episode. I don't know why we do it. I really don't know. But every once in a while, I'll be like, I'm just not feeling it today, and I'm going to binge on my not like for that person. And all day, I'll think about them. It's my go-to. We got to get rid of that. Because if you don't, God's going to be like, today is December 30th. Today starts their new chapter of working through getting over that. And then you're going to spend however long letting God work that out of you. And let me tell you, it's unpleasant. Because God don't want you bound up by hatred and irritation and bitterness and fear and oh, when I see that person, I'm going to say this. No, God don't want that for you. Why? Because God can't bless that. God can't bless it. Get rid of your go-tos. Get rid of them. They're not helping you. And it says, he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said something here, very important. Because look here, we all got excuses. We all got them. I got more excuses than I got facts. God, I know you want me to behave, but today's just Monday. I mean, I'm going to get that right before Sunday. I don't care. I'm playing games with God. He said, Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Look here. God's done some things that started with me January the 10th of 2018. At the time, I didn't know what the heck he was doing. And I didn't like him. But I had been praying earlier, God, get me out of this. God, I can't handle not one more day of this. God, this person's terribly mean to me. See, we call out to the Lord, and he's going to hear you. Don't be mad at him when he says, today is the day. Today's the day. I've heard you. And today's the day I'm going to do something. Because let me tell you something. Sometimes when God does what he has to do to fix the situation, you're going to have some discomfort. You're going to have some moments where you're very uncomfortable. January the 10th, 2018 was my day. Months leading up to that, I would just cry out to God, God, help me. God, get me out of this. God, I cannot take this anymore. I can't take it, God. And he would say, you can take it one more day. You can take it one more day. Look here. January 10th rolled up. I didn't even know, man. I thought that was a regular Wednesday. Nope. I walked away from something I didn't ever think I would walk away from. And I spent the next almost 2 years being in shock of what the heck took place in my life. One day I rolled up over the Bain Center, and some of us real big on supporting people. I support anybody. Y'all call me up, I'll go and support you. I don't care what you're doing as long as you ain't robbing a bank. And I thought, man, My dad needs my support up in the Celebrate Recovery meeting. And I did not think. I got up in there in that meeting. And I started looking around. I thought, I don't need this. I ain't like this, and I don't have these problems. You start labeling things. These people and these problems. I don't have them. Well, the first couple times I got up in there and I was like, I am misunderstanding what this is about because I don't know. I thought I knew what this was. I don't know what this is. A couple more times, sat up in there. Gina, God began to show me things about myself that had been wrong from the very beginning. From the very beginning. I said, God, couldn't you have showed me in a different way? God, I left everything that I ever did, everything I knew. See, only God knows. God only knows what he wants you to do. Only God knows what it's going to take to get you to a point you can actually do it. See, because I've spent the last 2 years looking at myself and making some changes. I have had some of the biggest drug lords in the town that I didn't think I had anything in common with, Andy. I've had them speak into my life things and nail it just like that. See, God will use some unconventional ways to get you to stop and to get you to say, wake up, because I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you in a very mighty way, and I need you to stop looking back. Last night when I read that verse, God said, Kelly, that is what the last 2 years have been all about, because when I put your hand on the plow, Kelly, I don't want to look you back. Kelly, souls are hanging in that balance. I can't have you looking back. I can't have you looking and saying, I wish I wouldn't have done this. I wish I would have been this. I wish I would have went to school longer. I wish I would have done all this stuff. God said, Kelly, look here. I'm going to put people's hands on the plow this year. I don't want them looking back. Amen. There's nothing good behind you. Amen. There's nothing there for you. Amen. He wants to put your hand on the plow and he wants to move you forward. Amen. What would have taken you years to advance in the way that he wants to do that with some people in here. See, God knows what he's doing. He knows how he wants to do it. He knows. And he wants to accelerate you forward. But look here. When he puts your hand on that plow, you cannot afford to look back. It's not a, well, if I do, no. You literally, you can't. He said, Kelly, it took 2 years to get some things right with you that you carried with you since you was a little girl. See, some of this stuff, it goes on up in us when we're little, and we carry it, and we have things that we tell ourselves, I will never let that happen to me. I will never let people treat me that way. I will never do this. And you continue to tell yourself that. Look here. God will use you in a mighty, mighty way. Let it go. Let that go to go. Say, God, here are these hands. Put them on the plow. I won't look back. I won't look back at that person that I think ripped me off. I won't look back on that person that broke my heart. I won't look back on that situation that I feel like I got the raw end of the deal. I won't look back on my family members and get offended. I've spent a great deal this year of just... Look, my family that's here right now, they really don't care because they love me and they won't get offended by this. I've spent almost all year being offended at some of my family. And let me tell you something. One of them got me on Christmas Day. said, Kelly, I just love you. Kelly wanted to say, well, if you love me, you would have done this and this and this and this this year, and you would have helped me in this way, blah, 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 blah. God said, Kelly, you've grown up. Now stop it. It wasn't him. And I held that person and I said, look here. I love you too. I don't love you because you're making me happy all the time. I don't love you because I agree with you all the time. I don't love you because you've been there for me this year, because you haven't. But I love you because I love you. I love you because I'm committed to you no matter what. Look here. God's got that family member. God's got your family member. God's got your family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Look here. Be fit. That go-to thing, let it go. Let that thing go. 2020 is not a year for you to keep on in your same ways where you go to that thing and you relive that pain. That's what you're doing when you replay what people said to you that hurt you. When you relive those scenarios, see, you're re-hurting yourself over and over and over. Stop reliving that pain. Go on. Go on with yourself. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. How did he forgive you? How did he let it go with you? Get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that unforgiveness. Get rid of that worrying. Get rid of that stress. Get rid of that thing that somebody said to you that hurts you so deeply. Get rid of it. Why? Because God wants you to have a good year. God wants to bless you. God wants to say, you know what? Now is your time. You're going to have some breakthrough. Give God something he can bless. Give him something he can bless. See, he can't bless the filth that we overindulge in our thought life. But he can bless a heart that just lives and beats for him. That says, God, how can I serve you today? God, what can I do for you today? God, how do you want to use me today? God, what do you want to do with this day? I was with somebody last night about 5:30, and I began to talk to this lady, and I was thinking the whole time, was getting my nails done. I was thinking, I'm really not a nail person because I really don't care. And all day, God was like, you need to get your nails done. I was like, well, really not a nail person, but okay, Lord. You want me to pamper myself? I will do it. I said, Jeremy, I'm leaving you with both of the children. I'm going to go get these nails done. The whole time I was wondering, God, why am I here? She was painting them nails up pretty, and she began to just talk. I've learned in the last 2 years, be a listener. Because there's some things people need to say. Because when they hear their self say it, God's going to set them free. God's going to set them free when they begin to hear some of the things that, see, sometimes people just need to talk. They need to get it out. The lady just began to talk. I was thinking, girl, you need your own show. Can't even make some of this stuff up. What? Then God began to talk to me about halfway through. Kelly, you pray for this person. You call down the blessing that can only come from me, and you put it in this business. You put it in this family. You put it in this household. I begin to say, God, I don't want to do that. This person clearly does not a prayer. God, I thought we was just getting our nails done. Then she began to cry. Man, look here, I'm a crier. Do not cry around me because I will cry with you. I don't even got to know you. And I don't even got to like you. You go to crying on me, I'm going to cry with you. She started crying. Then I'm like, now halfway got a cough and I can't hear or breathe. And I'm like, hold on. She's just going on. I said, I don't do this unless God tells me to, because people expect that out of a preacher. They just expect you to be a holy roller, going to go in there and blast them with God's word. Look here, God's word is precious. It don't need blasting until God tells me to. Now, look here, that's not everybody's M.O., but it's my M.O. When God tells me to pray, I will pray. And until he tells me to, I just say, God, who do you want me to pray for today? Because look here, when you tell me to pray, God, there was a reason. God wants me to pray for you. God wants to turn that around. God wants you to be okay with having a better year. Are you okay with that? And she looked. I said, are you okay with God coming up into your family and saving them kids of yours that you're crying over? Hallelujah. Yeah. So are you okay with God coming up into that drug addiction that you got going on up in your family? Are you okay with God coming up in there and healing that? She, by the end of that little event, she didn't know what she got herself up into. I said, well, then I'm going to pray. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, I just pray down the blessing of God, Lord, that only you can give. God, freely. God, freely. And God, I just ask you right now. And I just began to look here. God's got something good for this year. You got to know that. You got to stop saying, oh, my kid, oh, my family, oh, my husband, oh, my wife. You know what? Stop putting all your stock into happiness in another person. You ain't going to get it. Why? Because you don't even know what's going to make you happy all the time. How could anybody else? Your husband ain't going to know what's going to make you happy all the time because you don't even know. And men, look here. You darn sure don't know what's going to make you happy. Nobody knows. Happiness is fleeting. Joy, however, can be a constant. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy is when things are going wrong and you've kept your head up because you know God's making them better. Happiness is the first thing to go when there's a problem. That's how I define happiness. I could be, oh, God, I'm so happy. Get a phone call. Ugh, what a terrible day. It's like 8 o'clock. You're like, in the morning? We're going to have a good year. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to act according to his good purpose. Look here, salvation, your relationship with Jesus, it's something that has to be worked out on a daily basis. You got to work it out. I don't like exercising, and I definitely don't like working out. But your life, your salvation, it's got to be worked out. Because God wants to use you. He wants to bless you. Put yourself in a place where he can use you, where he can bless you. He don't care if you're up in the nail salon. He don't care if you're up in Walmart. He wants to use you. Get out of yourself long enough where you can see there's something bigger going on with you than just you. Amen? See that God's going to do a new thing and just leave all that old junk and drama away and go on and be happy. Have some joy. Look here, you don't got to agree with everything your family's doing. Stop letting it dictate your joy. Back up and let that go. You can gain 10 pounds over unhappiness over your family. Look here, Sally Sue ain't worth that. I can tell you that. You go to that department store and you got to buy bigger pants because you got a bitterness problem with Sally Sue. That ain't going to help you. Don't do that to yourself. Go on and have a better year. Leave that junk behind you. James chapter 5, verse 13. The first thing that I told God, you know, God, I've learned this year that you're never leaving me, that you'll never forsake me. The second thing that I've learned is if I can't let things go, God, you're going to let me go through some things. God, help me develop the ability to just let them go. Because, God, I don't want to go through stuff. I want to be able to just let it go. Let it go and be content with just knowing you're taking care of it. The third thing that I can tell you is to develop a prayer life. Develop a prayer life. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord has raised him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other, because the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. If I could say, what has this year done for me? The number one thing that I would tell you is this one thing right here. Patty, I've learned how to pray fervent prayers. I've learned how to pray and then be effective. Why? Because I have been to my point with some things, and that break just happened where I said, God, this is all on you. God, it's not a matter of me making this thing happen. God, it's not a matter of anything that I could do. God, this is you. Now, Father God, I ask you right now, God, to do what I can't do. God, to be where I can't go. God, I ask you to send your angels to my people, God, the ones that I'm concerned about. And I've learned how to get in there, Mike, with God on some things and get right next to him. And I've learned how to be effective. See, we can pray, and then we can pray. Last place for me, Mark chapter 9, verse 29. And the disciples were around, and they were trying to cast the devil out of some boy, and they were getting into it. See, and that's what you see all up in Christianity. People supposed to be loving each other, and they're getting into it about silly stuff. They said, by who can we pray that we can cast the devil up out of this boy, Jesus? And Jesus said something very divine in verse 29, and he said, look here, this kind, see, that kind of family problem, that kind of marriage problem, that kind of kid problem, that kind of sickness, that kind of infirmity, that kind of addiction, there are things that can only, this kind of thing can only be resolved with prayer. Prayer. Not anything else. See, you could worry yourself sick and nothing ever happened. And he said, this kind can only come out by prayer. By prayer. Develop that prayer life. Because God wants to use you. He wants to get that year 2020 where you're walking in complete purpose, complete power, complete dominion. Now I'm going to ask you something. We've got 4 minutes. If you've got a go-to in here, and you keep coming back to that thing over and over, and you know you do, and you know you got a problem with it, but nonetheless, you keep going back to it. Maybe been something somebody said. Maybe been something happened. But every time you get a little bit whatever, you're going back to that thing, and you know that it's holding you up. I want you to stand, because see, we're going to walk away, and we're not going to have that garbage, because you can't. You don't want that up in your new year. You don't want that. God don't want it. Now look here, when I pray, this is on y'all. I could pray for you all day long, but look here, the next time that you get in the moment where you have an opportunity to go to that thing, you're going to have to take every thought captive. You're going to have to say, I'm not thinking that right now. I am not doing it. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person, God. Lord, I ask for your grace right now, and God, your mercy. God, your power right now in Jesus' name. God, you know exactly the situation, the scenario, the words. God, I ask, God, that you would just cleanse their mind right now in Jesus' name and cleanse their heart. God, and I ask that you would give us victory over this. God, the thing that we've continued to come back to over and over. God, I ask that you would help us to move away from it, to stop revisiting it, to stop reliving it. And God, we call these things done. God, I thank you for each and every person. God, I thank you for blessing them. God, I thank you for divine health, divine wealth, every single thing that they're in need of, God. And we call all these things done in Jesus' name, amen.